Hi everyone, welcome to an episode of Dear Asian Girl. Now, on the podcast, instead of the usual me and Jen, we have two new co-hosts, and I would love to introduce them to you both. First of all, we have Meghna and Eden. Now, who would like to introduce themselves first?
I guess I'll go first. Hi, everybody. My name is Meghna. I'm a student at UCLA. I'm majoring in public affairs and economics, and I'm planning to go to law school at some time in the future. So that's what I do. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm currently in Los Angeles.
Very cool. I am Eden. My pronouns are she, her. I'm based in the UK, if you couldn't tell from my accent. And I go to the University of Bristol, which is like southwest kind of England, but I'm normally based sort of near London. And I do English, so I'm hoping to sort of go into, it's a bit complicated, but essentially like any form of publishing that helps me uplift underrepresented voices, I guess is a way to summarize it. And yeah, did you say your roots, Meghna, like where you're sort of from?
Oh, yeah, I did not. So I am Indian American. I was born in India, so I immigrated to the United States when I was pretty young, around like 3 years old. So that's my roots.
Beautiful, first generation girly. I am a second generation girly. I'm a Chinese Malaysian, and my parents immigrated to the UK, I want to say like over 20 years ago. So when my eldest brother was like about three, I think. But yeah, so we have our roots in Malaysia, but we're ethnically Chinese. I don't really know where my like China Chinese roots are. Not a clue. But yeah, I should probably do like a 23andMe or something.
Hey, that's so cool, both of you. I love hearing a little bit more about your roots and backgrounds. A quick reminder for anyone who is listening. I use she, her pronouns, and I am a 1.5 generation Korean individual in America, repping Washington State. Now, you kind of gave us like the basics of introducing yourselves. And Meghna, I noticed that you talked about kind of going into law, but what else do you do? What's your whole deal?
Okay, so my specific interest in the law lies in public interest. I really want to go into some sort of social work-esque type of law. So I'm super interested in working with kids. I really love working with kids. So maybe juvenile justice or some sort of law that helps children kind of ease their way through the justice system or criminal justice system. So that's my like interest in law specifically. And then kind of outside school, I'm super into creative writing. I've basically done creative writing my entire life. Like my earliest memory is like, you know, writing stories on like Google Docs in first grade about like going to Candyland or something. It was a huge thing in my life. I've also recently got into scrapbooking because this past year in senior year, I made two scrapbooks for my best friends for them to take to college just for like a happy birthday kind of thing. And it was a lot of fun. So super into scrapbooking these days.
Oh, I love that. I am a huge scrapbooking fan, maybe collaging-esque fan. Super cute. I love it. Now, I also know you've talked about that you are a Percy Jackson / anime fan. I know this is just hobbies, but you want to tell me at least your favorite show and then maybe your favorite like Percy Jackson character.
Sure. So yeah, Percy Jackson was like the book series that I grew up reading. I read it like maybe 5 times. It's actually kind of unhealthy, but yeah, I love it.
5 times?
Yeah, it was a lot. I just kept going back to it because I just get like bored between reading book series, and it's like just a favorite of mine, so it never gets boring to read it again. I'd say my favorite character, this might be basic, but I just love Percy. He's such a good main character. I love him so much. So I just have such a huge bias towards him. It might be because I like read him growing up when I was like 10, like younger than like now when I'm like 19 older than him, which is so surreal. But yeah, he's my favorite character. Anime. Okay, I could talk about anime for hours, but which is also kind of unhealthy. But you know, it's okay.
It's okay. No judgment.
I have so many favorite animes, but like I would say my favorite genre is just like the horror-esque anime that like freaky. It's weird because normally I don't really like horror stuff, but there's just something about it that makes it so exciting. So I would say Attack on Titan, The Promised Neverland, Demon Slayer, all the ones that are like, you know, super like thriller kind of esque.
Do you watch any or read any Junji Ito? My sister's like a huge fan of him. Like the horror.
I don't read manga as much. I really should, but I need to get into it. But I will keep that name in mind.
Keep that name in mind. His shit is spooky.
Wait, actually. Okay, so for my like I think 18th birthday, one of my best friends got me an illustrated copy of Dazai Osamu's No Longer Human, and it's like in manga format because it's usually an autobiography kind of memoir-esque book. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's the illustrations are by Junji Ito. I was like, I recognize that name, but I don't know where. And then I turn and it's right there.
I love that. That's super cool. Well, thank you so much for kind of delving into your interests and also a little bit more into your personality. Now it's your turn, Eden. You're in the hot seat.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can I just say, horror, I cannot digest horror, like in any form. Like I'm just the worst person to be watching a horror film or like reading a horror book with.
Teach their own.
Is Legend of Korra an anime? I guess it is, right? Wait, is it? Legend of Korra. Who made that?
Actually, no. That's by an American animation studio.
Yeah, I think there's a term for it. So obsessed. I think there's a term for it. Like, so you know how there's like spaghetti westerns, and then there's like kimchi. There's kimchi westerns, which are like Korean westerns. There's like a name for American-based anime that's like also food-related, I think. But like Avatar.
Perfect for the season. Oh my God.
Yeah. I took a genre class recently, it was an Asian film theory genre class into Asian film. Anyways, now.
Oh, wow. Now we need to find out.
Well, no. This is introducing the new co-host. I got to have you guys get into you guys.
It's not about genres.
It's not about genres. It's about the people. Anyways, Eden. Tell me about what you are. Tell me what makes you live. Like, what do you live for?
What do I live for?
Maybe not as intense as that. What do you just kind of...
What's my purpose? Why am I here?
What do you love to do?
That's a better question.
Yeah.
I am currently at uni, so I'm like involved in a couple of societies, and I'm particularly very involved in the yoga society. So I'm on the committee for that. And I'm also on the committee for the Jazz Funk Soul Society.
Oh my gosh.
And those are my two personalities. But yeah, they're kind of coming to an end because like we're heading towards like AGM handover kind of season. It's a bit early, but like the new people wouldn't step into their roles until like September. So like the next academic year. But it's all happening now. And I feel like I'm just losing parts of myself. And I have to find new like identities. It's crazy. Anyway, to be less depressing. Yeah, I really love yoga. I was just at yoga yesterday, actually, trialing a new instructor at a new studio. But yeah, it's just so healing. And we most recently had a little retreat in Wales, and it was so nice. We were staying in this like bunkhouse, which was converted from a church, and the architecture was so beautiful. I can't even describe it. It was just so like wooden and aesthetic, like in the middle of nowhere, like.
Oh my god!
That's so cool. My mom has been really pushing me to do yoga. So,
well, hey, I know now. I could be yoga buddy. Person. Well, that's
you know a person.
I know a person who might help you with yoga or whatever.
Ooh,
I love making faces and then remembering that no one on the podcast who's listening to it can see it. Anyways, though, that's insane. Eden, you're so cool. Like, what the heck?
Oh my
that's
like God. Thanks, Abby.
Those are two very, like, not random, but they aren't, like, not random a little bit. Like, they're so signaturely you, but I don't think I've ever heard someone be like, jazz and yoga. Like, I love it.
I thought... I thought they were like really like niche interests, but I've actually found quite a bit of crossover between people that I know from yoga and people I know from jazz. And like, I keep getting recognized because I'm like vice pres for yogas, and I keep getting recognized while I'm at jazz. And I feel like I'm just in my other personality at the time. And I'm like, oh, you know me from yoga.
Sorry, guys, I'm in jazz mode. One second.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Who's Eden? Who's vice pres of yoga? This is Eden, who's social sec for jazz.
So what instruments do you play in jazz?
I play guitar, piano, and ukulele, but I don't really play jazz, funk, or soul in any of those instruments. So it's been a bit of a weird experience being on the committee because I'm not actually very useful as part of the band. But I handle all the social media, and I do play every now and then. So
no, you know what?
We have a night coming up, actually.
Ooh. Well, you know, I want you to know you're bringing jazz. You're bringing the personality of jazz.
You're so bringing right.
The jazz essence, like whatever, who knows, like, yeah, not playing an instrument sometimes, but you got this jazz in here where it matters.
Yeah.
The heart.
Jazz in the heart. Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine so like three instruments at once. I once tried to learn the flute, but it was disastrous.
I really wanted to learn the flute at one point, but I'm self-taught in all of my instruments, and I know I wouldn't be able to self-teach flute, like, and I also just don't have the lung capacity, I don't think.
I can't believe you're self-taught for three instruments. Oh my gosh. I mean, guitar, ukulele, I know it's like pretty, you can kind of
I tried to get taught for like three different instruments, and none of them worked out. So kudos to you. That's amazing.
Megna, maybe your teacher wasn't good enough. It's never the student's fault, Megna. It's never the student's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You're the first person to ever say that to me. So thank you. It was that's healing.
We are truly here to uplift each other now. Okay. Yeah. So introducing new hosts, you guys aren't just here for no reason other than the fact that we are always trying to grow and expand as a podcast. We are also working on a new season, and if you're listening to this episode, you get a fun hint at it, where it is about food. So I'm going to ask you guys a few questions about food and your kind of your relationships with it, so we can give our audience a little sneak peek, a little peek behind the curtain. But first off, we'll just keep on going back and forth order. Megna, so can you talk about a moment in your life where like you really formed a strong connection with your culture and food?
So this might be cheating because I recently have come to a startling realization, but I would say, okay, so the staple food of my childhood growing up was this one brand of instant ramen called Maggi, right?
So yes.
Growing up, this was all I ate. I had like an obsession with this. And it all started back when I was like 5 years old. Me and my parents were taking a trip to India. We lived in the United States at the time, so we were visiting relatives in India. And so we took this trip to the Himalayas, right? And one of the things we could do at the site was basically take a horseback ride up a Himalayan mountain. So imagine me as a five-year-old on this like little pony going up a Himalayan mountain by myself, might I add. I was on the pony. My parents were on separate horses.
That's so impressive. No,
I was just kind of like holding on for dear life as we're going up this mountain, this very steep incline. And at the top, there's just this random guy selling Maggi out of this like makeshift food stall. And I have no idea what he's doing up there. Like, he's just cooking it in this like iron pot. Like, it's like 12 degrees. Don't know what he's doing. But I mean, it was probably a very smart business decision because he was the only person selling food up there. So everyone was buying food from him. Mm-hmm. My dad buys me like a bowl of Maggi from him. And like, to be honest, I could not taste it because it was so hot and like the temperature was so cold. So I like was simultaneously burning and freezing. But I don't know, from then on, I had this like this emotional attachment to Maggi noodles. And I just like, I would literally like beg my parents to buy it for me every single time we went to the Indian grocery store. And like, it got to the point where they're like, okay, this is unhealthy. We need to cut you off. Like,
No more noodles.
But I managed to negotiate, right? I managed to get it down to at least once a week on Fridays. Fridays became Maggie days. I would straight up ask my parents for it for dinner every single week. And then I found out, like literally 2 weeks ago, that Maggie is not Indian. It's Swiss. It is a Swiss brand. And I felt like my entire childhood identity just shattered.
No, don't worry. I mean, Maggie as a brand, I know, has like a chokehold on ethnic households. Like, I had the Maggie sauce, like just the soy like sauce type thing, and it's so good. I think Asian people do it better. I think that they take it and elevate it, truly.
It's Asian in my heart.
That's what matters.
Yes.
The heart, it's, guys.
The jazz is in the heart. The Asian is in the heart. And then
the Maggie, noodles in the heart.
The Swiss Maggie noodle brand is in the heart.
I ate it. So it was basically like a huge part of my identity.
Okay. Well, now I have to ask Eden. Eden, do you have a food which kind of melds like your cultural experience along with?
My God.
Tell me about it. You know, you're in.
See, when Meghna first told us all this stuff about like her like Maggie noodle trauma, I was trying to think of like an equivalent for me, but that was just such a dramatic story that I 100% don't have a level story for you. I'm just like so happy that like my favorite like Malaysian brand of noodles, like Chintan noodles, is in fact Malaysian. Like I don't think like the flavors themselves, like there's a flavor for like Assam Laksa, and I don't think white Westerners could have invented that flavor if they tried, like, or like replicated it if they tried. But just to talk about like sort of like family recipes, I guess, and what kind of food marked my childhood, it would definitely be, we have quite a few like staple recipes that we always make in the Ng household. Oh, that's my surname, Ng. Or the Nugget household, actually, is what we go by. I coined that term.
That
we are the Nuggets.
So cute. That is so cute.
Oh my God. Oh no, it became a problem though, because my Instagram handle is Eden Nugget. And I convinced like a bunch of my uni friends, like before they properly got to know me, that my surname was Nugget. And I was like, did you think it was like French? And I was like, Eden Nugay. Like, what's happening here?
It's like, it's Eden Nugay.
Yes. Do I look French to you? No. But yeah, a couple of recipes are like, oh, like bopia, so like spring rolls, or sorry, spring noodles. You've got noodles in my head, Meghna. My mum makes them pretty non-traditionally. Like, I don't think this is a family recipe that was like passed down from the generations, but she makes it with like a couple of different dishes that we like put into the one spring roll wrapper and then like roll up and eat. They're like the raw kind. I think raw is the right word, but like we don't fry them. But like there's a bit with like parsnip and carrots, and one with like green beans, one with like tofu and cabbage, which is controversial in my household because half of us don't like it. I really like tofu, but I don't like that specific thing. And then like fried eggs, and then like hoisin sauce. It's just so good. But that's definitely, yeah.
Highlight. Do you mind if I pop in really quickly? Because, you know, you're from the UK, and I think that does form kind of a different experience with how that might meld with the flavors of someone who is a diaspora, a part of the US, like, you know, Meghna, me. So I'm curious, like, are there ways in which being a British citizen melds with your Asian identity in food?
The way you just like cringe saying the word British, I do the same. Like, I'm British. Great
no,
Britain.
No,
I'm part
no,
of Great
Britain.
Oh my
Britain. God, no. It's because I was like, oh fuck, like I don't know if I'm saying the right thing. Like,
oh no, it's right.
Okay, cool.
I also hate being British.
No. No hatred towards my British friends when they're POC.
So true. That was a complete joke. Listeners, we love the British.
We love you, British. Our researcher, Annika, we love you. Sorry, please continue, though. Annika. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm trying to think of any specific ways. I did see that one TikTok of the girl. Well, I don't want to get too much into like how Western cultures like appropriate or like Asian dishes and flavors or anything. But I did see that one TikTok of the girl who was cooking. I think it's a series which she does where she cooks full English breakfast, like in different styles. And so she did one that was like Chinese takeaway, specifically Chinese takeaway kind of style. And had like char siu bacon and prawn toast instead of normal toast. and then oyster sauce sausages, and then curry sauce beans, which is how you know it's like Chinese takeaway inspired, because like, what is curry sauce? But I don't think I do anything like that. Like, I do like stir fry pasta sometimes, so like the same flavors I put in a stir fry, but I use like pasta shapes or something rather
I've never heard of that
or anything. But it's really good. I recommend.
I believe.
I don't think that's a specifically British thing though. Weird thing that like my family. It's like it's a family thing.
Well, Meghna, how about you? Any experiences where being a part of the diaspora, like just your family, or just something that you grew up eating where it's definitely something where it's like not true to the culture, but true to your culture?
So let's see. I would definitely say something I've been noticing more in like Western grocery shops is turmeric. There's like this obsession with turmeric now in the United States, at least. And turmeric is like a staple ingredient in a lot of Indian food. So yeah, I've definitely noticed that. I've definitely noticed some kind of trivializing, I guess you could say, of like Indian flavors in Western brands of food. For example, Lay's has this thing called magic masala chips, which...
Not magic.
Yeah, like... I can't even explain, but yeah. So like, it's just like a lot of Western brands will like take Asian flavors and just kind of incorporate it into their food. So like masala flavored potato chips is just interesting. I will say that. And then I was going to say, with regard to like dishes I grew up eating. So I already said that I'm Indian American. Just to be a little more specific, my family is from a state in India called Kerala. So we are Malayali. And some of the dishes I grew up eating are actually North Indian because my mom grew up in New Delhi. So a lot of her cooking is North Indian influenced while we're South Indian. So bear with me when I say that my favorite dishes growing up are not South Indian. They are North Indian, two specifically called chana masala and rajma. So chana masala also goes by a Malayali term called kadla curry. So that's probably like my most favorite dish I had growing up. My mom makes the absolute best kadla curry. It's just like instant. I'm instantly brought home when I eat this, wherever I eat this. And then rajma is also like a really important food I grew up eating. I would say just describe it a little bit. Chana masala or kadla curry is basically made from chickpeas. I heard they're also called garbanzo beans. I have no idea that's what they're called here. I just call it kadla or chana. But so yeah, it's just it's a curry made from chickpeas or garbanzo beans, and then rajma is a curry made from red kidney beans. So as you can see, I am very much into lentils and legumes. So I don't know what it is about those.
Legumes are good. They're good for the heart. They're good for the soul.
So good.
Legume supremacy. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we're kind of reaching towards the end. So I want to ask, I'm going to give you guys both a minute each. Tell me your most controversial Asian foodie take. Go.
Oh my God.
We're going to make people mad. Got to make them mad.
I already know. I think I will slightly with this because...
Eden, it's time then.
Like we have a team who like check over our scripts before we go over them, just like very loose scripts. And when I put this opinion down, I got some backlash. But I think that... So there are like so many different kinds of laksa in like Malaysian cuisine alone. Like there's just like probably like 30 different kinds or something. But there are like two kind of main categories, I say, or like two that I've mainly had. So like sort of like fish based, which is like an Assam laksa, and then just like, I was gonna say basic, it's just really brushing my opinion, but like curry laksa, which is like more Singapore style. And it's, I love Singapore, by the way, no hate to the Singaporeans. But like more like curry rather than like fish or like anything more interesting. And I just think Assam laksa is just so much more interesting because like we already have other curry dishes, like Malaysian curry dishes, like curry chicken or like curry ayam. And that is what curry laksa kind of is, just with noodles. So I find it, if I'm going to have laksa, I'm going to have Assam laksa, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many people did I make mad?
I don't know. I will have to see afterwards. Now, Meghna, time for you to make people mad. What is your hot Asian food take.
Okay, I already know I'm gonna make all Indian people mad by saying this, but growing up, so there's this dish called paneer in my culture, and pretty much every Indian person I've ever met from every region of the country is obsessed with paneer. It's basically this like kind of tofu-esque kind of dish, and it's put into curry, and like literally everyone I know is obsessed with it. I personally do not like it. I like the curry, but I don't
Magna.
Like I like the curry, but I don't like the paneer. So it's just, I just don't like how it doesn't have any flavor of its own. I don't really like the texture, and it's just, I don't like it. It's too like squishy for me. I prefer dishes that are very like strong in flavor, I guess. I have a huge sweet tooth. So things like chikki, for people who don't know, chikki is basically this like peanut brittle candy thing. It's peanuts kind of glued together with jaggery or sugar. So it's so good. But I prefer very strong flavors like that. And paneer, it's just not for me. I'm sorry to everyone out there.
It's okay. And you've established you prefer the heartiness of a legume. So that's okay. Yes, yes. There's no hate to that. I'm going to pop in my last thing and then we can kind of wrap it up. But controversial opinion, all Korean food tastes very similar. And I love it. This is a thing I love because you use like the same three ingredients for like so much banchan that it's like really easy to like make Korean food. I mean, that's easy for me to say as a Korean person with like who loves to cook and loves talking to her mom and grandma about cooking. But like you just kind of need like three ingredients and you're good. And if you just need to have the special sauce, which is the same sauce that is jazz, which is the heart. I don't know. Like, I think you just need to know the right amounts of those three ingredients you need.
Yeah.
Everyone, it was so lovely to be able to talk to you guys and kind of show our audience a little bit more about ourselves or yourselves, not ourselves. Just a heads up, please go check out season 6. We are going to be having so much fun. We're going to do some mystery solving. We're going to do some fun interviews with people and restaurants all over, not just in America. Super cool. Love having an international.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And no matter what, be hungry. Stay hungry because we are ready to cook up a meal for you. Now, everyone say bye.
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 Want more of Dear Asian Girl? You can find us everywhere on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. We're on everything. Can't get enough? Subscribe, follow, rate, review to get all the updates on the latest at DAG. Let us know your feedback and what we can do to improve. We also can be found on Instagram. Follow us at Dear Asian Girl to receive updates about our latest episodes and fun facts about the host. We'd love for you to reach out. DAG, Dear Asian Girl, a podcast dedicated to share the stories of Asian girls everywhere. For the Asian girl, by the Asian girl.